What is up, podheads? We are back with another episode of the Podio Slave Podcast, and it's kind of a milestone, which I don't think any of us, it really hit any of us until we were just chatting pre. 150. This is number 150, which is pretty fucking cool. I'm joined by Anthony and Nate. My name is Tony. How you guys doing tonight?
I'm fantastic. Buck 50. I'd love to know the percentage of how many, not music pods, pods in general that hit that milestone. And I think we asked the same question at 100. And I think our guesses are very low. I would guess under 5% of podcasts hit 150.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with you.
Ooh, we're a marathon. I mean, the first thing that came to mind is like the Titanic meme. Like, it's been 150 episodes.
Yep.
I don't know that one.
It's been 84 years.
Yeah, the Titanic one. That's the way I look at it. Like, man, we're older, but we still have content. We still have ideas. We're barely scratching the surface in reality, right? We have like this giant running list of like nerdery that we want to get out to the world. So 150 more at minimum, if not more than that.
Still haven't talked about hip hop.
Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah. There's this other pockets of music that we love, haven't touched. There's favorite bands of ours we haven't touched.
I think we'd do some of those now too, right? But at the same time, probably not. It's just one of those double-edged swords. We'll leave it for people to think about.
Well, there's some of those, but then there's, you know, some household names, some house bands that we haven't even touched yet. For as far as full episodes, we've talked about a lot of bands over the course of the podcast, but as far as dedicated episodes, like we've done with Foos and Queens and all that stuff, but there's other bands we haven't. So the point is, there's plenty of runway for 150 more. Hey, we said we'd be doing this for the next 10 years last episode.
We hoped anyway.
If not, we'll just, we'll use ChatGPT. We're all good.
Yeah. Can they mimic the way I sound? Because I have kind of a weird, funky voice. People always tell me that's not what I expected. And if it can mimic me, I'll be scared, A, and B, I mean, we can keep this thing rolling for decades if we want to.
Dude, we are immortal.
So actually, this is a good segue into a question I had for you guys before we get into the main segment, which we'll explain in a little bit. But I was thinking today, I was looking at my music collection. I got my records behind me. I got books and books of CDs. I got posters all over the wall. I got a million shows that I'm ready to see. So my question to myself, which I'll ask to you guys, is, am I the biggest music fan now than I've ever been? Oh, you guys answer, then I'll answer.
I was going to say yes, because you have all the experience and sifting through the good and the bad and the ugly, and the cream is rise to the top. And some of those bands that you're going to see, like, they've kind of, you know, made it to this point.
Yeah, I think I probably am the biggest music fan I've ever been. And it was funny, I was talking with somebody I used to work with, oh boy, almost 20 years ago now, and we were kind of going back and forth about some stuff, and he's like, I don't think we talked a ton about music back then, because he listens to the pod here and there. And I'm like, you know what, we really didn't. We talked about a couple of different bands, but we never really got too in-depth about music. But like, now, that's what I would do. That's like where I would start. So, and he's a big music fan too, so definitely. And we pay more attention to it, try to go to shows. Some of it's for content, some of it's because we love it. Most of it's because we love it. And I think I would say yes.
I think for me, it's either the biggest fan or tied for the first. The first would be in that like 05 to 07 when I was working at the radio station. I was getting CDs mailed to me every day. It's going to shows. If you've listened to this podcast, you know I keep a Excel spreadsheet with all the shows I've been to. I looked at that the other day, and I think in 06, I hit over a show a week. It was like 60 shows.
Wow.
And then 07 was very close. Basically, 03 to 07 was like 50 to 60 a year. And certainly I can't do that now, but I'm on the pulse of it all. You know what I mean? As far as multi-genres with this podcast, we're reminiscing about old. And that's a good point, Nate. We have all that old knowledge now that we can pull from. And I'm a fan of that, and I'm a fan of new stuff. So yeah, maybe I am. Biggest music fan I've ever been.
Well, and the radio gig is, you know, congruent to the podcast, because there's so much homework involved where like you're thinking about it more than you normally would, because you're prepping for episodes, you're thinking about the song that you're listening to in a different way, given all the interviews we've had. So it's accelerated. And I think everything music appreciation wise, the three of us has basically been brought up 10 or 12 notches, because it's like, oh, this is how it's made. Before it was like, oh, I like this song, it's cool, all right, move on.
Yeah, it's definitely top of mind the most right now. And it makes sense to want that 03 to 07 range is college, right? Like, you're going to find more of what you like, run into more people that have similar, you know, tastes in whether it be music or whatever you end up getting into at that time frame in our lives. And music is definitely that. And that's, I mean, Nate, we were hanging out then because you were still in, you were still in Maine. We were going to shows. We were drinking, listening to Nine Inch Nails, you know, doing that type of stuff. So we were doing similar stuff at home as you were twan down in college. But it's top of mind most now, I think.
Yeah, and then you think about another, like, movie scene just popped in my head, similar to the Titanic thing, which is, like, the movie Blow, where they're talking about selling weed in the Boston area. It's like everyone has their parents' money, and they're just buying, like, buying at will. Well, that was us in college, right? It's like we had no really real responsibilities and, you know, a surplus of money to kind of do fun things. So instead of eating, we would go to shows.
That's the thing. No obligation necessarily in the morning, especially on the weekends. Now, yeah, I can't go to bed at 2, or, you know, I can't go to out of state shows just on a whim, which Nate was the king of at a very young age.
Yep.
Hey, you want to, you know, when we get out of school, you want to leave to Boston? Really? What?
Right. Let me clear it with the rent. I don't know, man. He's like, yeah, we're just going to do
it. On a school night? What the
fuck? I was influenced by others, but I think it's paid dividends. I think it's partly why I'm kind of a traveler, right? I never stay in a location for too long. So I think that was the start of it. I was like, oh, there's a lot out there.
Mm-hmm. I know, we've corralled you for 3 years. I'm surprised, actually.
Wild. Yeah. Oh, boy. But I mean, he goes abroad and, yeah, disappears. It is what it is.
Well, the other thing I was going to say is, now you would think that, you know, later in life you have more money for this stuff, but everything's so goddamn expensive. I was looking at tickets to that Death Cab and Postal Service show, which I think must have sold out because it's all verified resale tickets. $135.
Fuck that. That's, I mean, crazy.
A couple is looking at over $3 to go to that. And it brings me back to what our conversation last week, like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be happy to spend that much money.
Nope. Nope. I agree with you. The thing with that show, and it makes some sense to me, is it's a dual headline, right?
Yeah.
But my wonder is, and I'd have to look at where the Portland, Maine show is on the list, on the, you know, is it at the beginning of the tour? Is it the end? I think it's close to the beginning, but how is Ben Gibbard going to pull that off? That's a tangent, but, like, vocally, how is he going to pull that off? I don't even know, man. He's going to be fried by the end of that thing.
It's a good point. I've never seen Postal Service. Saw Death Cab, never seen Postal. And I don't think Postal Service played out much at all.
I think you're right. Yeah, it was kind of a...
like a project, right?
Yep. And then it blew up.
Yeah, double duty. I remember when Matt Cameron rejoined Soundgarden back in the day, there was talks of, like, tours where it was going to be like a Soundgarden Pearl Jam co-headlining tour. And I think it got scrapped because Matt was like, I can't fucking play 6 hours straight. Are you kidding me? So if Ben's up for the challenge.
And we've had guests on that we've asked that question. And actually, it's been Killswitch members, right? Both Jesse Leach and Justin Foley. We asked Jesse about having Times of Grace open for Killswitch or something like that. Yeah? And he was like, no, bro, my voice, no way. And then we asked Justin about having Libeca open for Killswitch, which he did at the end of December 2022. So I can't imagine he was super energetic when the Killswitch set ended, because he played, you know, guitar on stage with Libeca and then got behind the kit to play drums for Killswitch. That's got to be a tough physical evening for him.
Well, Casey from Wonder Years, we joked, like, why not throw in Greatest Generation in with that double album run? And he's like, are you guys joking?
You want to kill me?
Yeah. Age has a lot to do with that. Maybe when they're younger, but I mean, I can barely hang for an hour podcast at this point.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we're all getting old, man.
We started with the 2-hour specials, and then that slowly ticked down.
So between the price and the energy levels, we kind of lucked out then, because shows were like $20. Like, speaking of, like, that show you were talking about, like Unwritten Laws playing. I know we had Scott Russo on this podcast. So I always have a pulse on Ticketmaster and the verified resale, and that show sold out. Tickets are like $25 face before it sold out. Resale tickets are like $175. It's like, dude, that's not real. That's not realistic.
It's not real. There's no one paying that.
Yeah.
There's
someone behind a Ticketmaster desk being like, let's just see if anyone, you know, you get a catch, you know? It's crazy.
Well, the other one is Third Eye Blind down at Hampton Beach. I looked at those, well over $100.
Because that sold out quick, and Frank Turner and the Interrupters, similar situation. Same venue, sold out pretty fast. Those tickets are going to go crazy as far as people trying to get them on the resale market. And part of me just thinks they only put out like 200 tickets for a 2,000 seat venue, and they're like, oh, it's sold out, good luck, and they just put it all on the resale and jack the price, right? We talked about that way back.
We have, and it was true, and it's still happening.
Can't wait for that class action lawsuit in 2052 when we can't go to shows anymore because we're too old. But we're like, oh, cool, they owe us thousands of dollars.
Here's your $5 voucher, adjusted for inflation.
Yeah.
This doesn't even cover the fees, assholes.
Man, I see it. When that happens, I feel like Ticketmaster, if it does get broken up, it'll just be a bunch of companies spelled Ticketmaster in like an incorrect spelling, kind of like Napster. Like Ticketmaster with like ones and stuff.
That's like putting stuff on eBay, right? Didn't we? Yeah. We talked about that too. Spelling it wrong to try to find it.
It's a Nate special. They adjusted their search. Those bastards.
Yeah, well, stuff gets better or worse, depending on how you feel. And if you want to know about what we think about the future, go back and listen to 149. But we're here tonight with 150. So, Twan, do you have another question for us? Or are we going to roll into the segment?
Kind of a trivia, and then just kind of a shout out just to an Instagram account I saw online. Shout out. Do you guys remember when we saw 311 a couple summers ago? There were two openers. Mm-hmm. One was Iration. Do you remember the other band?
Shit. Tell me, I can't remember.
I can't remember either. I'm thinking, but
Iaterra. Anyway, I'm scrolling through Instagram and I see this guy, reels, they tailor reels to your interests for the most part. And there's this guy who does like emo, metal, punk, nu metal, reggae covers.
I've seen this guy.
Nathan Aurora. He's the singer of that band. I wish we caught them. He's so talented.
Super talented. Yep.
Nathan _ Aurora. Amazing.
I've seen him on TikTok, I think. We must run in the same circles, Twan.
We must have the same account. I mean,
oh yeah, well, yeah. Good point. Yeah. Nate's like, what account is that? I don't know what you're talking about.
I wish we saw. I've never listened to his reggae band, the band that opened for 311, but he's awesome.
I mean, speaking of like what we've learned over the years and like being a bigger fan now more than ever, didn't we learn not to drink beer and skip the openers? Like they always become big,
Yeah. It's good. Like there's the one that got me hooked was Under Oath, Reinventing Your Exit. Then there's the Used Blue and Yellow reggae cover. There's a bunch. A Day to Remember. He does a Chop Suey one, which I did not listen to. There's a bunch. Check it out.
Yeah, go check him out. He is definitely talented. I second that recommendation, Twan.
I stumped the Tone. I stumped the Nate tonight. Hell yeah.
Tone is a big surprise, but myself.
I'm not that. I'm not as smart as people may think. I get everybody snowed.
I mean, dude, I would put money on it every time. That's why you have to stay confident with me. I might need a lifeline.
You can call me. I'll do the best I can. All right. Segment tonight. We've done a cousin of this segment past. What do we do? Non-album songs or forgotten non-album songs, I think, way back on episode 67. I did not know that off the top of my head. I did look it up and prep for this episode.
You've lost your edge, man.
I know. I had to, though, because I wanted to make sure I didn't pick any of the same songs. So
you've definitely lost your edge because you forgot that.
Yeah, I know. 150 of these, man. It's hard. It gets hard. And you keep adding to them every week and in real times, too. Like, shit, there's a lot of stuff out there. We've got a lot of content. But it's just forgotten songs. So it doesn't necessarily need to be a non-album song, just something that maybe piqued our interest, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, that maybe you bring to the table that you guys haven't heard in a while or didn't remember. So we'll see if we can stump each other. My guess is you're going to know three out of the one of you is going to know three out of the four, and the other one's going to know a different three out of the four I have. And we'll see how that goes.
Just to kind of add on that, how I framed my thinking about this, it could be songs that I personally forgot and then I heard recently and I was like, that's one criteria, or songs I think you guys have forgot, or just the general population that I think has forgotten so much to the point that they might not have heard it since it came out, like that type of thing.
And deserves more recognition, right? That's why it makes this list.
Yeah, I would agree for both of these. They had the shine, but they need to be spruced up.
I like it. All right, Nate, lead us off. Give us one. You had a bunch.
I had a bunch. But just to delay, as usual, per usual, I have a few notes that I wrote down as well, because going through this exercise always brings up kind of other things. So searching, scouring, listening, I came up with a few bullet points, and I'm like, oh, this song resonates for this reason and this reason. A few of them, I'm not going to go through all of them, but one is what I realized listening through to these songs that we forgot about, I forgot about, maybe the population forgot about, is someone has to approve these to get this far in the first place. So I couldn't help but think like, oh, wow, if I was a record label, I would want this song to be huge, and I'm going to do everything I can to make it huge. So if it gets forgotten, it's kind of like, fuck, man, we did everything we could on our end. So it just happened time and time again. And I think you start to realize the formula of a single, because it has to like ring in your head for a while. And if you forget about it, it's really your fault because it's catchy enough, at least the choices that I made.
Good call. What you just said resonates with me. These have good hooks.
Yep.
So without further ado, what do you got? Lay it on us.
Cool. So I'll do.
No, he's got more bullet points. He's going to lay out. We got to clear the lane, Twan.
Okay. I'm going on mute. Call me when it's my turn.
No, I'll do two bullet points per. So the next one is just pretty simple, which is the discovery on how much amazing music really does exist out there. Because we talk about so much cool stuff on here. But when you go on the outskirts of the homework related to this podcast, you're like, wow, there's so much more than I realized, because I may have forgotten about this song. So this little nerd tidbit. But
Nate had a gummy before we started recording tonight, apparently. So
no, but sleep deprivation, I think, is equivalent.
What is it? Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy. What is that?
Yeah. Yes, Deep Thoughts. Yeah.
All right. So what are you guys feeling?
I'm feeling what you got, man. You got a list of eight.
I have no fucking clue what you have. So yeah, one of the ones on your list.
You got the poo-poo platter. I'll take anything.
Okay. I'm going to go, per usual, 90s OG on this one. And I think this falls into feel-good songs that we've done kind of episodes on, or an episode on.
I'd feel good if you told me what it was.
No shit. How long is this going to go for?
I know. I'm really delaying it.
Do you have any? Next,
I would have had you go first, Juan, but...
All right. It's Seal. Kiss from a Rose.
Yes. Yes, the Batman Forever soundtrack, 1997?
Earlier. You're right.
I'm back, baby. I'm back.
You're back.
I think it's earlier than that.
I think it's 97.
No. No, because that's with Sunny Day. That's with U2.
Yeah, Hold Me, Throw Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me.
It's probably 95.
Well, go ahead, Nate. Talk about it while I look it
up. Well, no, Tone, like, man, I'm losing. No, I'm not losing faith. But yeah, so this song, and actually.
95, Twan, you're right.
95. Oh, ooh, the edge.
My edge is sharpened. The edge is strong.
Stump the Twan. That's next.
That's the next one. Yep.
So Seal, Kiss from a Rose, stood out. I hadn't heard it in, God, 10 years, maybe? Maybe more. But before that, probably 10 years before that. So it's like this 10-year cadence where I'm like, why don't I hear the song more often? It's a beautiful masterpiece of a song. Great voice. Just tattooed in my mind, you know, especially the Batman Forever. What was it? Batman Forever, right? Soundtrack. And just that whole era. So I think it actually brings you back to like a whole scene.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, the layering, the production, his voice, the whole marketing, the image. I mean, it was a perfect song, perfect package. Okay, it fits perfect song too. Yeah, this is a forgotten song, I think.
I would say this is perfect and not forgotten. I'm gonna go ahead and pull that rug out from over. Everybody knows this song. This isn't forgotten. This is still, Seal still lives in the consciousness of the world a little bit. And this was his biggest song, right?
Yeah, I mean, easily. Yes and no. I mean, I haven't heard it. So I guess what are the parameters? Is it in any kind of like commercials? Is it any kind of TV shows? Like,
no,
what is regular rotation?
In that respect, where it's 28 years old, it isn't.
Holy shit.
In the zeitgeist anymore. But it's definitely a song people know about, I would say. I don't know if we just forgot about it.
We'll take a Twitter poll.
Forgot about Dre.
Yep. I'm just disagreeing to disagree. It's fun.
It's this is It's a fucking all-time song.
So good, man. So good.
He, what was the, his breakthrough was what, Crazy? We're never gonna survive. Huh?
Wasn't that after?
No, Crazy was like 92.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Amazing. Amazing was like 10 years ago.
Oh, Amazing.
Also a great, I don't even great know that Seal one. Song.
That
yes.
might be a forgotten song. But yeah, I think, because
that song fucking rules.
What's it called? Amazing?
Yeah.
Ooh, jots down in Notepad for later.
Yeah, watch the Victoria's Secret show with him doing it live.
I knew you were
going
to say that.
Great video.
Amazing Seal presence. I might know just a handful of his songs, but they're masterpieces. I didn't forget about this song. Although, I don't know if I ever seek to put it on. You know what I mean? Either. So maybe it is. Maybe I did forget about it.
I know. That's where it's kind of a gray area. Like, did I forget about it in terms of, like, it completely exited my head, like, altogether? Or am I going to go through, like, a 1998 CD rack and be like, oh, I didn't forget about it. It's right there. Like, it's different because we're in, like, a digital age. So if you're not listening to it, I mean, like I said, a 10-year cadence, that's pretty much forgotten, right?
Yes. I think in the overall, I'm with you there. But for music nerds like us and many, and we're going to do a Twitter poll. I'm going to put that out there. I don't know if anybody will answer it, but if did you forget about Seal's Kiss from a Rose?
Please advise.
Please advise. It's a great song, Nate. We're not shitting on the song. We're just having fun with it. I love this song, so I'm down for it.
Correction, this is a perfect song.
I would agree with that. It's kind of surprising that none of us have brought this up, or Rob included, on either of the perfect song episodes, because it is perfect.
All right, well, it's a forgotten song this time, and if anyone's going to listen to it, you guys included, make sure you listen to it at very high volume, because there's a lot of cool layering in there, which is, I didn't realize until this last run. I'm like, oh, wow. It's basically an overproduced masterpiece.
Most of them are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you one, but I've got 19 bullet points first, starting with this is how I found this song. No, I'm just kidding. So I will tell you the story about how I found the song. We were at Rob's. I think, Nate, you were there. And he had that huge CD wall in his living room?
Living room and bedroom, giant.
Yeah, then it ended up in his bedroom. But it was in his living room, and I was just kind of looking through what he had. And I was like, can I steal some of these to burn, put on my seat and my computer so I can have them? And I started at the beginning of the rack, so in the A's. What band would be first when talking about the A's?
Ooh, I know exactly what it is. A.
It is A. It's the band A. Yeah, What song would I be talking about, Nate?
Oh, God. I fucking love this song, too. And it was like, it was actually on the radio a lot. Huh.
I don't even know this.
From 2002. They're a UK band. They were played on CYY. The song is called Nothing.
Nothing, exactly. Yeah. They were a Kerrang fucking champion.
Oh, yeah. And it's an awesome song. Would have been like all over Fuse back in the day. And it's got a great hook. When you guys are talking about hooks at the beginning, give me some love, give me some skin. If I ain't got that, then I ain't got nothing over and over again. It's so good, man. And it just kind of comes at you. And he changes the pitch of it a couple times, but it's a great chorus. It's a great song. And I think it's forgotten. I think it's been 20 years and not a lot of people remember the band A. I don't think they charted here, but this song fucking rules. Go check out A.
You stumped me. Stump the Twan is confirmed.
I had a feeling this was the one you wouldn't know, Twan.
I definitely don't know it by band name. Don't know it by song title. To be determined if I know the song. I'm going to say no.
It's definitely a banger. I think between CYY did play it in Maine radio station, but Kerrang, you know, obviously they're based out of UK, so I had a little bit of an extra layer of insight on what was going on in that scene, and they were like front cover a few times. So for a band that's like barely making a dent in the US, it's kind of cool to have that flip side. But it is a fucking banger, man. He's got that Perry Farrell type tone to him.
That's really a great call. I didn't think of that. You're right, he does kind of sound that way. Yep, it's like if Perry Farrell fronted kind of a semi, like at the end of the new metal-y craze, but they're not like heavy, but they've got some heaviness to them.
Yeah, it's like new metal and slash industrial.
Slash Brit. Like UK. The UK version of that.
I was just on mute and I listened, skimmed it. I recognized the chorus.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we can't play the song. Sorry, everybody. Go play it yourself.
100% forgot about that song. Never could have told you who sang it.
One for one, baby. I got one of you.
Yeah, no Twitter poll needed for that one.
People will remember that song, but I was hoping maybe I'd get one of you guys. So yeah,
people in the UK and like ultra nerds, which we want to attract. So good call.
Yeah, and I think the CD I burned off Rob was a radio copy, so I'm sure he didn't pay for it either.
So you didn't support the scan twice.
All right, Twan, you got one for us?
I do. This one dates back to 1999. My guess is most people have never heard the band name, might know the song title just because that's what the chorus is. It's from a very popular video game. It was made popular by a very popular video game.
Tony Hawk, I would imagine.
It's Tony Hawk, and the song is Here and Now.
Nice.
Do you remember this one?
I'd have to hear it.
So this, yeah, so it was on the original Tony Hawk, and the song, instrumentally, it's very 311. Like, if you took out the vocals, and even the vocals kind of goes down that road, but I think these guys lived in more of, like, the ska world. The vocals have a little distortion on it, but kind of rappy. You guys remember this one. It's like, but on the planet Earth, spin around its axis, revving around the sun, revving around the sun, Milky Way galaxy, blah, 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 here and now.
God damn it. It's like on the tip of my tongue, but I can't.
You would
think
know.
Of
I swear you would know this song. So when you listen to it and you're like, I remember it, you'll be like, fuck, he was right.
I just skimmed it and I do not know it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The Ernies is the band.
The
right?
Ernies. Yep. Oh, yeah. I didn't say that. Yeah. The band is the Ernies, which means nothing, but they.
It does actually, to the Ernies. Jeez, man. Sorry, so guys.
I have this CD. I'm the weirdo that went out and bought the CD. And guess where I bought it, guys? Used. I think it was used.
Strange Maine.
No. This was early 2000s.
That, like, Virillos at that CD swap thing.
No.
Strawberries.
Think close to home, Tone.
Oh, CD Authority.
The CD fucking Authority.
Oh, wow.
This is real inside main shit here, folks.
Yeah. Hey, what like a, I'm trying to think of the word, but like what a, kind of a pompous name, like the CD Authority.
Right? For $19 for a CD too. Like, fuck off.
Adjusted for inflation, those CDs would be more than vinyl right now. Who was buying those? I mean, I did. I went in there a bunch. I don't think I bought much, but.
No,
we
went
dude,
in there
I
a
definitely
lot.
Went there to. Browse like I still do today, but
browsing quotation marks saying, I mean, jeez,
taking pictures and I'm
yeah.
out,
yeah, stealing fun loving criminal stickers and peace.
You got your money's worth, but hey, listen to this song, listen to the guitars. It's 311 all day, but these guys, I looked them up on Spotify and the spins were monthly spins weren't bad, especially for a band that. I think they might have just had one. I think this is major label. Maybe, I'm not sure, actually, but they might have had a couple albums. But yeah, 34,000 monthly listeners. The Tony Hawk spins are playing
dividends. The Tony Hawk bump, baby.
It's real. It's very real. We discovered a lot of bands from that.
Yep. Yeah, we totally did. I mean, playing that, just tossing that one on. Sean Palmer's Snowboarder was another one that I played a lot that had a great soundtrack.
For sure.
And those games always had great soundtracks, but the Tony Hawk one is obviously all time for that. And I think he just recently, not that long ago, was out on stage with Goldfinger doing Superman, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, this past week.
And you know what I didn't realize until that video? Mike Herrera is in Goldfinger from MXPX.
What?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's in Goldfinger. He's been in Goldfinger for a few years, like in the last 5 or 6 years. I had no
Interesting.
Idea.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
But yeah, the Ernies, Here and Now. If you know the song, then it obviously wasn't forgotten, but throw it on and I guarantee you'll remember it if you're of age.
I like it. That's a good one. That's a good pick. You just got me. I didn't know it.
Yeah, forgotten. I knew the hook when you sang it, but forgotten for sure. So yeah, again, no Twitter poll needed off for this one.
What about an IG story question?
We could do that. Yeah. No one will see it, but yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say zero. Negative ROI negative on that one.
I mean, negative. We have multiple thousands of followers and they put our stuff in front of no one, so.
Support the scan and engage, baby.
Uh-huh, yeah, please. If you are listening, please go like our shit because it would help us out. Get us out to more people, and we want that. We want that for you, too, so we can keep going. I think we go snake draft here. I think we go back to me because, Twan, you got two, right? So we'll go back to me, then Nate, then me, then you again.
Yep.
All right. The next one here, you're both going to know the band. The band is easy. They were massive. This was an extra song put in around 2001, 2002 for a couple of best ofs they put out from the 1980 to 1990 range and the 1990 to 2000 range. So the band is massive. We've talked about the band. They're my number one all-time show.
You too.
Yep. Yep. Do you remember these compilations coming out? We were in high school.
Yeah. One had the gold, gold color. Yeah. Yep. And silver maybe was the other.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
My parents had them. I didn't have them.
They put two new songs out with these. Do you know either of them?
Not off the dome. When you say it, I'm sure, which fits this episode. Yeah. Perfect.
Forgotten, baby. I love it. Nate, do you remember either of the two songs?
Forgotten, but I didn't buy these because I already had the whole catalog. But
oh, sorry. Sorry, <Yeah. bro.
laughs> Did you have, was it Pop Discotech or whatever?
Yeah, he had Disney. Pop's a good record. It gets shit on too much, but yeah.
Let's debate that.
So you don't know it, Nate?
I don't know it. I can't remember.
You're all even right. Stalling not knowing the.
I know, right? Like, tell me if you do or don't. No, so one was The Hands That Built America. Not that one. Song's okay. They're way better U2 songs. This is Electrical Storm. Do you remember Electrical Storm?
Not by name.
Oh, and this is the William Orbit mix. So go check. There's two versions of it. I think there might be three versions of it. But check any of them out. They're all awesome. I remember getting the CDs to have these extra two songs. And being there's a reason I went to buy them. Back when I didn't know any better. And it's like, yeah, you don't need to do that. You can just have the whole catalog like Nate. You'll listen to that song on the radio or whatever. Yeah. But it is a banger of a U2 song that I think is a forgotten U2 song in their kind of mythos. Because they were in between All That You Can't Leave Behind and How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb. So people were really into those two records. And then this kind of best of stuff comes out. And here's a couple throwaway songs that didn't make it anywhere. But this song is really fucking good. And it's one of my probably top 20 U2 song. I mean, it's doesn't fit. Maybe top 15. Doesn't necessarily overtake some of the absolute classics in their catalog, but really cool U2 song that you should definitely go check out when you're done listening to this episode.
Talk about brilliant time to put out, you know, the retrospective albums and throw in a little something, you know, when they've just, because like someone like me, who was what, 15 when all this shit happened, that era, I mean, I knew of U2, I knew the classics, but they fucking blew up again.
They were as big as probably they ever were at that point.
Wild. Yeah. Insane.
Yeah, crazy resurgence with Elevation into How to Dismantle. It was like, oh, this is clearly the biggest band of all time, aside from the Beatles. But Dan, did you bring up a good point on the greatest hits type things and the songs that kind of come along to move units? Because those are always forgotten songs, and a lot of times those are full-on bangers.
And this is one of them. I mean, it's one that I just remember in the moment being super into. And shout out to our friend Adam, who's probably the biggest U2 head we know. I used to give him rides home from school, or he'd give me rides home, depending on the car situation for either of us. And he'd always have U2 on in the car, or I'd put it on for him when he got into my car. So we'd be listening to this around that time pretty regularly.
Definitely forgotten.
Two for two. I love it. Nate, what do you got?
Yeah, no Twitter poll needed again. All right, so a few more bullet points, right? So doing this exercise, nerding out, geeking out, when time permits, but I should be doing it all the time. But I digress. A lot of the songs that made my list forgotten, ironically, are about relationships. And I don't know if that's like a stat on just how many songs are about relationships in general, or if you don't want to think about it because it's based on a relationship that may have a time stamp on said era. It's to be... I guess it's up for discussion, but regardless, that's one. Second bullet point is a lot of these songs, I couldn't help but think the fact that they could be in a different genre and be just as good, maybe easily as forgotten too, but shows the transferability on a lot of songs that make it to radio where it's like, wow, this would work in a completely different format, call it a country song gone metal or anything like that. So these are just like things that are flying through my head as I'm listening to these songs, trying to get recalibrated with them, and I'm like thinking in a different nerd lens. So unnecessary context, but I thought I would just bring them up.
Before we get to your song, that last point is really interesting because it does happen a lot more now, I think, with the kind of emergence of the real culture and the TikTok culture. People are like, hey, yeah, check this song in this style, or in the style of this band, I'm gonna do this song. And it's really it's interesting, but there's so many people doing that now. So yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, and a lot of covers, right? A lot of bands put out covers, whether it's like a joke, like a band that's a rock band doing a cover of like a boy band song or something like that. But it actually turns out to be like really strong. You're like, oh, dude, like it actually shows the power of that boy band song because it's well written. The production's amazing. Instrumental's perfect. Chorus is perfect. So another one that I chose was the band, which I fucking love. And I actually forgot about this band as much as I was obsessed back in the day, is The Fray. And the song is You Found Me, very much so a relationship song. And it was on the latter half of the band's career. The singer, Isaac, beautiful voice, has since left the band, which sucks because he really carried the band, I think.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
But it's a forgotten song. I feel like this is a forgotten song. Again, for me, stats, we did a Twitter poll. This may be like number one on the charts. I wouldn't know. But it really reminded me of how much I love this band and how many bangers they had. And this song in particular, I think, kind of got breezed over just because it wasn't on that like really strong debut album.
Great song. Great pop rock band. Great pop rock song. I would say kind of forgotten. And I don't think their band name helps them, The Fray. It just kind of gets lost in The Fray, actually.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. I do like them. I really like them. What was the other one they had?
How to Save a Life.
Oh, yeah, How to Save a Life. Yeah, You Found Me is their best song.
It could be their best song, yeah.
Me personally did not forget about this one. This is one that if it's on the radio, I'm not changing it.
I definitely know it. I remember seeing them open for Weezer in Lewiston at the Colosseum. Did you go to that show with me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
06, I think. No, 05. It was 05. I saw like Dave Matthews Band and then Weezer and The Fray like 3 days later. And I think you did too. Didn't you see a different Dave show than I did down at Tweeter?
Yeah, different Dave show and same Weezer show with The Fray and someone else opened that show. That was a killer lineup.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I'll have to look for the ticket stub. But yeah, I would agree. Probably their best song, but the other one I think was bigger. Like as far as like spins or charting position or whatever, that song was everywhere. How to Save a Life.
Oh, you know who opened that show?
Who?
Two Skinny J's. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that was 311 at the State. That's right. 2002. Oh man, shit. Yeah, that's a good call, and that is probably at this point kind of forgotten. The band is kind of not. I mean, they're not where they were 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah, I think it kind of plays into like forgotten song, but maybe even forgotten band.
I would agree with that, actually. You know. And it's pretty wild for how big they were.
Yeah.
I feel like I saw them on like a tour announcement in the last few years, and it was a big venue. I mean, they're still active, right? Just different lineup. Is that what you're saying, Nate?
Yeah, still active. I mean, just did a little research today and saw that Isaac, the singer, had left. And I'm like, okay, so anytime a singer leaves the band, obviously that's a giant, you know, shift on where the band stands, whether you want to see them live or just output going forward, because they're playing songs off the albums that you fell in love with a different singer. So the dynamic is completely jumbled. So yeah, if they did come back, it would be with a different singer and obviously a different, oh, wow. A whole different kind of...
He just left this year, last year.
Oh, really? Oh, it's new. Okay.
Yeah, they had a couple big songs from that time frame. Over My Head was big. How to Save a Life. Look After You. Remember that one? That one was pretty big too.
I mean, the first record, personally, probably should have saved this for another episode, I think it's a front-to-back record.
I would agree with you, I think, yep.
Good. From Denver, Colorado. Yeah, I kind of did forget about them. Like, I'm not seeking them out, but I'm also not changing it.
So for the bullet points, I have bullet points for all of them to fit this bullet point, but for this one, I was like, this would be transferable to, like, a shoegaze song, which is obviously very widespread, but...
Yeah, I could see that, yeah. Maybe we can find a shoegaze band to cover it.
Get some to cover it.
Or we can do a TikTok, Nate, where you pretend.
Ask ChatGPT.
All right. So I'm going to give you another one on our way back on the snake here.
Snake it up, Snakey.
I think, Twan, you're going to know both of these. And I think Nate is going to know one of them and remember the time I have around the other one. So this will be interesting. We'll start with the newer song first. A former guest of ours has had beef with this artist on Twitter. That's the first thing I'll give you.
Former guest has had beef with him on Twitter. I'm trying to think of guests we've had that have a Twitter presence.
Oh, beef comes to mind, but Twitter doesn't.
Wale?
It is Wale.
It's Wale.
Yeah. And Spose has had beef with Wale.
Oh.
I can't remember the details. He brought it up on one of those. He was doing Twitter Spaces for a while, and he brought it up on a morning show back in the day. But yeah, so the song I'm going to give you is, I'm not sure you'll guess it, but from probably his biggest album. It's self-titled. The album and the song are the same name. Ambition. So he was touring when we saw him in Bangor for this.
Oh, with Deftones.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Yeah.
So our buddy Setla, who we used to joke was our producer, was his bachelor party. We told him, bring a putter, and we're going to bring you somewhere, and we didn't tell him where, and so we made him carry a putter around for half a day just to bring him up to Kabang Festival in Bangor, Maine. And it was Deftones, Wale, and a bunch of other bands, but Deftones was the draw for us. We wanted to go see Deftones. But Wale was on our floor at the casino in Bangor, the same hotel as us.
Yeah.
And we walked, I remember walking to our room, and all you could smell was weed.
Oh, yeah.
The whole floor smelled like weed. Oh, man. And this had to be 2012?
I think it was 2012. Yeah.
But the song Ambition is really cool, and I think it's forgotten. I think Wale is kind of forgotten. I know, I mean, he was on Maybach Music, I think. Nothing else really hit me, but I really liked this song for some reason. It could have been the beat. Cool hook. Go check that out. But yeah, I thought you guys would remember the time at least, and I wanted to bring up that and the beef.
So underrated and 100% forgotten. Joe Budden did an interview. I think it was Joe Budden. I saw an interview with Wale, and he was kind of reserved and like quiet and not as confident as you might think. And I think, you know, maybe that's kind of feeds all into this. But he got big. You know what I mean? Like, he got big. I got to listen to the song because I can't think of the chorus or anything of this song.
It's just the word ambition. So it's not like super hooky. But the reason I think Spose got into beef with him is they were on the same bill. Spose played that.
Oh, yeah.
Back before we knew Spose. I mean, we knew of him, but we didn't know him.
Yeah.
Like, we've had him on the pod three times. But yeah, he played that same weekend at Kabang in August of 2012.
Wow, that kind of, it plays into the whole me looking through this whole thing through like the music record label lens of like, all right, this guy's gonna be huge. Wale huge, get him on a bunch of bills, boom. And over, let's call it 2 years, fades off and everyone forgot. Label included, you know, drop the artists and it just, everyone moves on.
Yeah, I don't know how active he is, but underrated and unfortunately forgotten.
Yeah, no Twitter poll needed.
Twitter poll denied.
All right. I appreciate that I'm 3 for 3 on the forgotten aspect of this. That was my hope when doing this. Nate's like, all right, next up is Stairway to Heaven. Does anybody remember that song?
If you didn't slow dance to it, then yes, you might have forgotten. Unless you were a true music fan, then
Footloose.
Obviously not.
Footloose.
This next song.
Wonderwall.
Welcome to Paradise.
All right, Twan, you got one for us, right?
I do. I got another one. If you've watched television, you probably know this song because it was in a car commercial 20 years ago. It came out in 1995 on the record called Set Your Goals, which a band, you know, later named themselves after this album. The song, Can't Wait 1 Minute More. I can't wait 1 minute more. You guys know this song by Siv?
Negative. Oh, Siv.
So Siv is basically the pop Gorilla Biscuits. So Anthony Civarelli, Sammy Siegler, and I think it was Arthur, the bassist. This was like a side project they had. Walter Schreifels, the rumor is he wrote all these songs and he co-produced this album, but he was not in the band. But this was basically their pop side project. And this song blew up. I remember this song. It could have been a CYY song in the late 90s. If you don't know it, throw it on and you're like, shit, I remember this. Most people wouldn't know who sang it. And that's kind of why I picked it, which most people don't remember the song. They would have no clue who the artist is unless you know. And that's the thing with all these. Just like any, you know, any question's easy if you know the answer. Well, if you remember these, they're not forgotten. But I think most people would have forgotten this song.
Yeah, be like the car commercial band. I remember their logo was pretty distinctive, right?
Yeah.
they're on a bunch of festival bills. And if you have a good logo, you stick out, and then maybe it's worth checking out.
I have the CD. I remember buying the CD back in the day. So I'll have to post it on socials and we promote this episode. But Tone, if you stay on mute and listen to the song, you'll know it. You probably heard it at sporting events too.
I remember it just from the hook, and it does have a great hook. It's another one of those songs that has a great hook. I'm not shocked it blew up. And I remember when you said Set Your Goals, I know of the band Set Your Goals. I don't know them, you know, super well, but I've heard the name in knowing you, I've heard the name. So I was like, oh, is it one of their songs that I don't know that was probably big? And now that you say this and I've heard it, yeah, it makes sense, but totally forgotten. Not one that I ever would have thought of again.
Great song. And, you know, from a commercial perspective, this did pretty well. But other than that, this was, from a record label's perspective, Civ was probably a flop. I don't think the label was, you know, craving another Civ record, but
That happens.
A flop, but break even on the car commercial. You can't go wrong there. Shit. That's ahead of its time, too.
Right. Yeah. Do you know what car, Twan?
I think it was Nissan.
All right.
95. I'm going to go Ford Taurus, the wagon style.
Well, no, this the funny thing is the song came out in 95. The car commercial wasn't until the mid-2000s.
Interesting. Yeah, so somebody like them went back and threw it on a car commercial, tried to get the rights and all that. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's a total car commercial song, though, now that I think about it.
Yeah, especially in that time frame.
We'll have to dig that up and post it on socials. Dig up the car commercial.
That's probably findable.
Car commercial episode, I feel, is a good, one.
Oh, boy. Here we go. But
the criteria being they didn't make it actually on a car commercial. So Black Keys are off the table.
Yeah, they're off the table. They were already big. Cool. No, it's a good one. I have definitely forgotten and not even known to begin with by me. I know of the band, but yeah, that's a good one.
Who's next? Are we snaking back to Nate?
I think we snake back to me and then Nate, and then if we've got more, Nate can give us an extra one if he wants. All right. My last one that I had prepped for you guys. I have mentioned, I think, the opening line to this song on the podcast before, and it has to do with a number.
I mean, I'm fake, but this is fake.
It's a triple digit number, if that helps you at all.
213?
No, it's an episode number that we've done. So in the 150. So between 100 and 150.
Oh, okay. I was thinking the artist was a number.
The artist is a number.
311, maybe?
No, it's...
we haven't gotten there yet, Nate. That's another 150 plus.
It's Where the Play Is Dwell.
Room 112, Where the Play Is Dwell.
Room 112, Where the Play Is Dwell.
Yeah, yeah. Only You, the Bad Boy remix with Biggie and Mace and Puff Daddy.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm in.
It's so fucking good.
Wow.
The self-titled 112 record that came out in 95. And this song hit number 13 on the Hot 100 and number 3 on the R&B, so it was huge. I don't think anybody's thinking about it today. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
That's a great point.
Yeah, it's such a great... And this is like the kind of the heyday of Bad Boy and Diddy and Biggie and Mace and
middle school dance territory.
Absolutely. And that record is actually pretty good. Go back if you like that style of music. It's a really good record. But this song is probably the highlight of that record, I would say. This or Cupid. If you're looking for to get into your feels, go listen to Cupid. But if you're not and you're looking to party, Only You, the Bad Boy remix, is definitely up there. And it's so good. Room 112, Where the Play Is Dwell.
So if you go on YouTube and just type in, like, forgotten songs of the 90s, there's tons of videos, compilations of alt rock, R&B. I think this is even forgotten for those lists.
Yes.
That's a good one.
I'd agree. 96 is when the record came out.
Room 112, Where the Play Is Dwell.
Nate doesn't know it because he's not giving us anything.
Yeah, what do you think of this song, Nate? Give us a couple.
I vaguely remember it. It's one of those, I'd have to play it and be like, okay, and everything will flood back and like, okay, I got the exact memories of where I was when I heard this and all that good stuff. But yeah, the mid 90s, there was just so much happening that I think a lot of stuff got kind of swept under the rug for different reasons.
Well, this one was right in the heyday of Bad Boy. And Nate, I know you and I weren't close at this time because we would have been starting middle school, so we would have just met that fall. But I remember the crew that I ran with in fifth grade, we were listening to stuff like this.
I was playing No Way Out every sleepover.
That was not long after this. That was about a year later.
Added to playlists.
Yeah, lots of good shit to check out.
Straight up banger. Yeah, this will be a fun playlist. If we do put it together as a playlist and put it out there. We'll share it with everybody, but
it'll
be a fun one. It'll be all over the map, which will be cool. Kind of like us.
With Seal, the one that everyone actually still remembers.
I was like, forgotten songs, huh?
Let's Seal.
Wedged in between the Ernies and the Frey.
And you too. Nobody knows who they are. Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, okay, Nate, what do you got? You got another one you want to give us?
I got a ton. How many do you want?
Give us one more. Give us one more.
All right, more bullet points. Bullet points that came to mind. All these songs, for the most part, whether it's instrumentally or vocally, they all fit into that bucket of like feel good music. I don't know what it is. It's maybe a weird correlation that it was forgotten, because usually that's how you remember it. But conversely, forgot about these fucking songs. Sucks. It is what it is. Speaking of forgotten, like a lot of these artists fall into the bucket of where are they now? So Seal, I mean, he's likely still performing. I don't know. We check tour dates all the time. It doesn't look like it. So I think he may be forgotten. The Ernies, for sure. I mean, they likely disbanded at this point, but we'll have to.
We're supposed to recap the episode at the end.
I thought those were bullet points, not just like Nate's sweeping thoughts about the episode.
It's bullet points on roids.
Hang on. Your next forgotten song is Forgotten by Linkin Park.
Don't forget, R.I.P.
My December by Linkin Park.
Without the vowels, right? The remix version?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Reanimated.
All right, hold up. If you don't go in the next 10 seconds, I pulled one out. If so, you've been warned.
Yeah, hurry the fuck up.
All right, I'll go really quick. All right, so this falls into that greatest hits list, which is interesting because I think for whatever reason, there's either a lot of pressure to put out a good song. or it's written for the greatest hits. Regardless, this one, a band you may not know of, forgot about, Stone Temple Pilots, you know, not that big, whatever. They put out a greatest hits called Thank You. And the single off that was All in the Suit That You Wear, which is a fucking, I'd say maybe in their top three best songs ever written. Forgotten, it was on the radio for a minute and the band broke up right after, so there was no promotion.
I think this is so forgotten that you've done it before.
You've done this. Yep.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, this was, we'll have to insert the clip of Nate.
I'll find it. I don't know where it's going to be, but I'll find it.
So this one, I remember the second it came out, the day it came out, and thinking that it was a full-on banger. And wondering why this wasn't on a proper release, but kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, this was on a greatest hits album and kind of a farewell album, actually, I think, at least for an era for the band. It was called The All in the Suit That You Wear by Stone Temple Pilots. Mm-hmm. It was the lead single off the greatest hits album. And I freaking love this song.
this is too perfect. This is amazing.
I forgot it twice. I have like a shitload of backup. You want to read?
No, we're good. Twan, you got another one?
Hey, let me give one real quick. We can literally spend a minute and then go to Nate's. Dog's Eye View, Everything Falls Apart.
Big song. Yep, I remember that song. A great song. Not that anybody would remember today, but yes.
I would have to listen again.
Everything falls apart.
Count on that. Yeah, oh yeah.
Put it back together. Yeah, it falls. So that song, 90s OG, if you like go on, do that same exercise, go on YouTube, look at, you know, hits of the 90s. I don't even think it makes those lists. I think you had to be in the moment to remember this one.
Dogs Eye View, Bandicap?
Name sucks. For sure. Name sucks. Yeah. No, we keep it positive around here. I'm not buying the t-shirt, but I'm also like not buying the album because of the name.
It makes you think though, right? It makes you think. Is this from the Dog's Eye View or from my point of view? I like it. I'm in. I think it's a band advantage. Good job, guys.
Yeah, I like that. Nate, what do you got? Take us home.
All right. I got a bunch. I'm going to go with, let's see here. Boom. This one, it's weird, right? It's like, what is he trying to say? Not a religious person personally, but I don't know. You got to read in between the lines on this one. It's You're a God by Vertical Horizon. Forgotten? Twitter poll, maybe, to verify.
I would
great
say
song.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, I think great song, great layering, great production, great storytelling. And like, I kind of gave like the pre-announcement with the non-religious thing because there is really no religious ties to the song at all. Yeah, I think it's a forgotten song. I listened to it today and I was like, this is a great fucking song. This is a forgotten song. I forgot about this song.
Well, you want to know why it's forgotten? Is because I Am Everything You Want was so big. This was my guess is this was the second single. Was Year of God?
Probably, yeah. I'd have to look it up, but yeah.
It could be one of those type of scenarios where, you know, it's like, can you name the third Eve 6 single? You know, you can't, probably can't.
Yeah, good point.
Very underrated band. I had that CD where it has like the girl upside down.
Yep, yep. Doing like a somersault.
Somersault, a twirl around or something. Maybe a one album wonder. Unless could they be. Continued on and I didn't know about it.
Yeah, conducive to Forgotten.
Four albums.
Wow. See, forgot about them. I think we were so caught up in like the industry of the machine, which is like, oh, well, if they're not promoting it, I don't hear it. So that was then, though.
Seven albums.
Wow. Seven albums.
And well, they good had.
We're continuing on.
Two albums out, studio albums out before Everything You Want. So they broke through on their third album.
Wow.
And that song was Everything You Want was number one. You're a God was number 23. So it had an all right run.
Yeah.
But definitely not the same level.
Yeah. I think most people would have forgot about this one.
Agreed. Yep.
No Twitter poll needed.
Yeah. Thankfully, I needed one. But in terms of the bullet points?
No, I don't know if we need more bullet points, Nate. I got to edit this. We're good.
Well, the correlation to the bullet point is this could be
reworked.
Oh, we're
going to do it anyway. All right, cool. Go
this
ahead.
Could be reworked as a punk song, I feel like. Punk rock.
Yeah,
punk,
we
punk,
totally.
Pop punk. Yeah.
I would tell you right now, any really good song that has good bones can be put into other places. See all those videos all the time on any social media where someone's like, wow, this sounds like that song. Yeah, because it's got similar bones. Like, there's only so many ways that you can make a song, right? So if you change the style, sure, it'll work. Yep, I would agree with you because it's a good song.
Added to my playlist for tomorrow.
All right, Nate, you want to sum us up? Go ahead. You can sum us up now. Give us some more bullet points.
Well, that's all the bullet points for the most part, but nice. I think it, you know, I think the conclusion here is there's a lot going on. There's a lot of good music out there. Radio, the era that we grew up in, and maybe anyone that, you know, before us was dependent on the machine feeding us certain music
all
that
day.
We either gravitated towards or we didn't. And a lot of these songs, as much of, you know, the machine was working for them, still got forgotten. So it's just attention span wise, you can only, you can only collect so much. So these are worth revisiting, whether it's the seal of the music industry, multi-platinum, or something like the Ernie's, which is, you know, Tony Hawk just being a geek and putting his own favorite music on there. So
that's a great point. Yeah, no, absolutely. Go check this stuff out. Go, if you have ones that you like that we didn't hit on, email us. Hit us up. All that stuff's coming here at the end of the episode. You can get in touch with us pretty much everywhere. We check it all.
Yeah, this is fun. Hit us up. We love it. 150.
In the books.
Used to another
151 next week,
we'll
baby.
We'll do more. We'll do a shitload more. How about that?
It's been 150 episodes.
150 years.
Yeah, we'll see you next week with hopefully a conversation. Yeah, thanks. Peace,
Stay tuned.
Cheers, nerds.
Thank you for listening to Podio Slave. We are at Podio Slave on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of the places that you can find us on social media. Facebook, Podio Slave Podcast. YouTube, Podio Slave Podcast there. Email us at podioslavepodcast@gmail.com. And hey, if you want to become a supporter, click on the link at the bottom of the episode and give us $1, give us $5. It keeps the lights on, keeps us going. We really appreciate that stuff. Thank you.